like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank, word to Chris Hanks. Before to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016, like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never going hard as ever. The results match the effort.
Welcome to the Shrimp Tank this week, brought to you by Business Radio S Networks, where we interview the best and brightest entrepreneurs in the state of Georgia about the do's and don'ts of growing, starting a successful business. My name is Lee Heisman. I am your host here today with Chris Hanks, who is the executive director of the KSU Entrepreneurship Center. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm good. It's good to be back in the seat, I guess.
Literally and figuratively.
And literally, yes, exactly. Yeah,
thank you, Chris, for doing
so how
that.
Is your butt, by the way?
Thank you for bringing
which
that up.
Which is words that I never thought I would ask to you.
It is getting a lot better. It's better being out of a tub writhing in pain. When you sit in a tub, you'd realize you tend to take for granted moving around and being good. So a week of being in a tub, being reborn, I'm much better today.
No,
thank you
good.
So much.
Yes.
So, you know, Chris, you have Entrepreneurship Center. If you don't know, our listeners out there, and I know our guest understands what's going on over at KSU, the first and only school in the state of Georgia to have a degree.
Yes.
We want to keep saying that until Georgia State.
I love saying it. It's a fun thing to say. The only BBA in entrepreneurship that exists in the state.
Chris, how long will we continue to say that, do you feel?
Hopefully not long. I think other schools are starting to get the message that entrepreneurship is a wonderful thing to teach students, and it's a thing that can really impact them and change them for the better.
Well, you know, I'm over there frequently with you, and we work a lot with the students. You know, you have been jet setting over the past month or so. You were the United States representative. I know you hate when I say that, but in Romania, you were the United States representative for entrepreneurship over there.
It was great. Yeah, they essentially flew me over there for a TED Talk, their version of a TED Talk called Business Days. And I flew over there and did that. And while I was there, partnered with a wonderful university, Asabus, and taught executive MBA there. I'm working with the only entrepreneurial MBA program in the country of Romania. And I'm going to be teaching classes starting first week of December.
So you'll be flying there virtually?
No, I'm going to do virtual and wonderful. Then a few visits in person. But there'll be, I'm going to Skype in, essentially, and teach some executive MBAs there. And it's fascinating how they have received entrepreneurship, because this is a country that was communist in the 90s. And so now, being a young democracy, this idea of choice and this idea of, doing what I would like to do as opposed to what I'm being told to do, that message resonates so powerfully there.
Well, I saw the pictures. We saw what you had done there, the impact it was made. You brought it at the last board. It was wonderful. But I speak of jet setting. You were in Romania. Then recently, talk about the historical Black college. Talk about the trip to New York.
Yeah, I just got back last week. I was in, and that's why I wasn't on the tank last week. I was at Wilberforce University, which is the oldest privately held historically Black college and university in the country. Wilberforce is I know a different unique name, but it was named after an abolitionist of the day. And the president there really liked what he saw at Kennesaw State University and reached out to me about maybe doing something similar at Wilberforce. But since it's a smaller school, I kind of pitched the idea of what if you not only just, you can create an entrepreneurship center and an entrepreneurship major, and that's good. What if you made the entire college entrepreneurship? You're a freshman, you set foot on the campus, and you take a class in entrepreneurship, regardless of your major. And that has been received incredibly well. We're going to partner with them. We're working out the specifics of the partnership, but I think I go back there in January to address the entire student body, which will be a lot of fun.
How many total students there again?
They're like slightly under 1,000.
Wow. An entire school of entrepreneurship.
An entire school. So, and it gives them relevance, like the way the president was talking about that, he kind of told me that, back when this college was created, you didn't have choice. If you were African American, this is where you went to school or a school like it. Now, why would you choose to go? This place is about 20 minutes outside of Dayton, Ohio. Mm-hmm. Why would you choose that as opposed to all the other choices out there? But now being known for enterprise and entrepreneurship gives students a reason to come.
Well, there's a reason why they choose you, Chris, because KSU is the leader in Georgia. They saw that you have created relevance in the entrepreneurship world here in Georgia. That's why and how you received your degree. So I don't blame them for grabbing you in the university to spearhead this project. Yeah. What about New York?
So New York was high school. So we took high school students there, which was a lot of fun. So we had about over 100 high school students in New York, which was, you know, there was times where I got a little bit nervous, you know, cutting them loose in Times Square and that kind of thing. But yeah, high school students and then exposing them to the world out there. Like I took a subset of that group to like Goldman Sachs. I have some former students there. So investment banking, IPO, that kind of
thing. Did you say NFL as well the other
night? So NFL, absolutely. NHL, LinkedIn.
Sounds like fun. Yes.
Just a whole host of companies that entertain these high school students and welcome them. And then we have our elevator pitch competition coming up with those high school students next week.
So well, and at the end of this semester, the last topic on KSU I want to talk about is your elevator pitch for your current entrepreneurial class.
Yeah, for my class as well, and as well as those high school students. We're doing one there as well at the high school. But at Kennesaw State University, we are in the middle of the end of the semester, and students are pitching for KSU Top 100, which I know that you are a big part of and a big help with.
Absolutely. Well, I was fortunate last year to be the victor. With
yes,
my student.
You did.
Winning
the
$100,000 yes. for my student, which is wonderful.
Yeah, that makes your stock pick go up. So people are going to be saying, okay, which mentor coached the guy who won? Oh, it's that guy?
Yep.
I want that guy to mentor me this year.
Well, you know, Chris, it's funny. I have been cherry picking your students. So, you know, I always hedge my bets. There's no question. I don't like to go into, there is no such thing as a fair fight to me. If I'm going to fight, I'm fighting to win.
Yeah.
So with the class that I've been fortunate enough to teach, I have actually met with a number of students to provide them guidance, not only for their KSU 100, but also on a selfish note to provide me guidance of who exactly I want to work with so I can potentially repeat.
Can you do a repeat? I don't know. Never been done before.
Clearly.
Yeah, exactly.
Since the inaugural year, there's no question about it.
So yeah, you're going to dominate this. You're going to be like the LeBron James.
No,
that's not the right analogy.
Well,
to think of the right
let's
analogy.
Put it this way. If I repeat, I will be definitely stepping away. I'm going to end
really?
On a high note.
You're
like
going to be done no after
question.
This year if you win?
If I win, there's
retire
no question.
Crown.
No question about it.
Go out on a high note.
So here is a topic, and if anybody knows me, Chris, and you know me well enough, and I'm going to have Ryan jump in, our producer, for a second. But, you know, a topic that I'm not going to be political today. However, can information and can tall tales swing an election? We're not going to talk about our election that just happened. We're not going to focus on that. However, the question that's being asked today in conference room across digital media is, can fake information swing elections as well as swing people's opinions and the ability for a business to grow? So I don't know if people are aware of the Fairness Doctrine. Chris, have you heard of the Fairness Doctrine
in
1950?
Yeah.
Okay. So the thinking went like this. With only three networks of television to choose from, viewers needed reliably balanced news and information. So if a television station aired one perspective on a controversial topic, it was obligated and required to air an opposing view. I need Ryan to jump in and give the line that he said to me earlier, if you don't mind, Ryan.
I believe you'll always find the answers you're looking for. No matter what they are.
If you're searching on the internet, freewheeling at Mavericky, you know, you're going to find the answers you're looking for. So should we look at the possibility of adopting that type of doctrine in today's environment? You know, Google, Facebook, they have the analytics. They have the ability to figure out what areas you're looking in, what areas of interest are out there. Can they quantify fake news, Chris, from real news? And will we be moving in an area of a fairness doctrine because there's just too much media out there?
That's an interesting question. I guess the short version is I don't know. Because how do you sort of calculate? Like, when you have three networks, you can sort of calculate the amount of time and what's fair and what's not fair. Now with the onslaught of media, it's hard to sort of figure out the definition of fairness in that. But it does go back to this idea of, you know, it's not the value that we create; it's the perceived value, right? So whether or not it's accurate or not accurate. It's whatever our customers or in this case, voters or whoever perceive as valuable. That's the important thing. So we have to really manage that. It's not only the value that we create as entrepreneurs, but the perception of value that becomes as important, if not more important. So we have to communicate that value and we have to manage that perception quite carefully.
Well, you know, when I talk about Facebook, I talk about Google, it's not their responsibility that we're in this type of mess, obviously, but they are uniquely positioned to help us and solve the information possibly. You know, I want to open this up to our guest as well. Let me introduce John Bellman, CEO of Own Accord. John, thanks for coming on the show.
Glad to be here.
Yes, I like it, the voice. John, do you have any opinions on this topic before we roll into your background?
I do. I think it's one of the central challenges I think we face is that, and it's ironic that we've got more sources of information today than we ever have, and yet we find ourselves self-curating what we read and what we decide to believe into echo chambers. And, you know, I think, I don't know who did this, but there is a sort of a comparison of two different political views, what their Facebook feeds might look like, and they're just completely different. And it takes a lot of, ironically, it just takes a lot more work to find out what is accurate and what isn't. I'd like to think that we will just get better as citizens in taking accountability to really do the work to find out what information.
But John, my concern is, and you know this better than anybody, you know, we're going to get into your background, people like bite-sized pieces. People don't want to spend the time. People are portable, looking information, researching information. They want it big, bold print, less content right in your face. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I agree with that. And I think that is something that we will have to take accountability for and work on ourselves to try to change.
I think we currently are taking accountability for, which is fine. Yeah. You know, we've made our choices accordingly in the political race, but also it affects our businesses because with a storefront, you throw a beautiful website up there with beautiful content, you put in tons of reviews that you could potentially fabricate, you could make a one-person company that may not provide a quality service look like and be perceived as the greatest company providing that particular service. It is all based on social media. And we're going to jump into John's background right now to talk about, John, how do you guide other entrepreneurs? Tell us your background, how you've gotten to this company, Own Accord.
Sure. So my background is varied and diverse. I've worked in, I was in the military in the 3rd Ranger Battalion in the 90s, and then I've been in all sorts of industries, large companies, small companies, two family-owned businesses. I had a variety of different roles, senior leadership, including my last role as CEO of a logistics company here in Atlanta. Now, what I do is executive coaching and put together teams of high-performing CEOs to work together to make their businesses and their lives better. And I work with a company called Vistage now. CEO of Own Accord is my own business, so I'm a bit of an entrepreneur as well. So
how, a question I have is, how did you convert your military experience? Do you find that that was helpful? Was there anything positive that helped you move from the military into business? And was there anything negative from your military experience that potentially hurt you in business?
Great question. I think the combination of both. I think and I'll start with negative first. I think there's obviously a cultural difference between the military and civilian worlds. There's a way of communicating, a style that is different, particularly with the unit that I was in versus what you may find in any kind of corporation. So that was an adjustment. I think I had been in combat, so making the adjustment from being in a certain kind of mental environment to being, coming back to the States and being in peacetime, and that's a transition in and of itself. On the positive side, I think that one thing we did very, very well in the military is enforce really good planning and contingency planning and challenging of assumptions when developing a plan, which I find in business. And as I coach CEOs today, that is something that businesses don't do a very good job of. In the military, we really did do that. And it's something I saw that early on in my career and have carried it through to today.
So that core background you received in the military has really provided you the foundation.
Yes, absolutely.
And and do you see a lot of CEOs and entrepreneurs that might be missing that quality? Is it apparent, or do you find that they have pieces of it?
Pieces of it. I think that businesses, particularly entrepreneurs, get to a point they are successful based on skills that later on, once they've had initial success, could end up preventing them from really being open to other points of view. They follow their gut, their instinct, their drive, their initiative. But at the end of the day, they get to a certain point where they build a team around them that isn't comfortable or hasn't learned how to challenge effectively.
Sure.
Particularly when this may be a CEO or business owner who's very good with people and sure. very popular and charismatic and has gotten to where he or she is by being very smart and having good ideas and making good decisions, the team around them can fall into just deferring even when they don't know it and not really thinking through ideas and challenging assumptions the way that at least we learned to when Fair. I was in the military.
Fair.
So does it ever get annoying to you to talk about your military past?
It doesn't get annoying to me. Sometimes I feel that because what I was involved, I feel that I get attention that probably I don't deserve.
Yeah, because you were involved in something very well known, you know, Black Hawk Down. You were part of a documentary. I mean, and some people call that, I guess, is it still the most intense firefight since Vietnam? Even to this day?
I'd say it's one of them, but I would also say that I look at the folks, men and women who've served since 2001 have done, I mean, you see people who've done 14, 15 deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan. There have been intense firefights. I'm sure that there have been more than a dozen that are probably for the individuals involved were about the same. We just happened to have what happened to us occur during peacetime, and it was significant. And then a book and a movie got made about it, so we got a lot of attention, which I think net overall has been a positive for the military, and I think was good for the country to have that sort of glimpse into what combat is about and have it be top of mind. On the other hand, it does get those of us who were involved a lot of attention that perhaps sometimes I feel that we don't necessarily deserve because others have done more and deserve
and more frequent. Well. John brought up a really good point, Chris, and I didn't see this being, you know, a civilian as myself. I was really enlightened when I asked you that question earlier or something similar. And you said, Lee, you know, I was fortunate to obviously be a part of this. You mentioned that you were engaged one time. You were deployed one time there for something that a spotlight was put on. So you get mm-hmm. a lot of attention for it. But if you look at it, and I know a number of people that have multiple deployments, and that is much more wearing on many layers than just going there and dealing with something one time. Is that accurate?
That is absolutely the case. Yes. Yes.
It's a valid, valid point. Yeah.
So I'm fascinated by something because I often say, like, being the owner of a business, you know, going from nothing to something is the toughest job that exists in business. You know, being CEO is a hard, hard thing. And then being a ranger and part of something that you experienced and based on your past, outside of the business world, I don't know. I can't imagine what could be tougher than that. So, like, you bring both of these things to the table, which I find fascinating. So, I mean, what lessons can you offer being, you know, a part of something, okay, outside of business, what I would consider one of the most difficult things you can go through. And then in the business world, you're part of the most difficult things you can go through. I mean, what lessons can you pull from that?
I think it's the importance of resilience, the importance of knowing, being in, and this is one thing I have found very difficult in my career, as much as I was talking about how the military trains you to do this pretty well, and that is being able to balance a willingness and an ability to kind of go against the grain and go against conventional wisdom and overcome the no's that you may be hearing in your life. And at the same time, being able to take input and different perspective that may be contradictory to what you're thinking. So at the same time, you're trying to follow a path that's difficult and you may have a lot of naysayers and you've got to be able to have the resilience and fortitude to get through that. But at the same time, you have to be able to take input and assess your environment and be able to really course correct effectively as well.
Well, we're coming to you live 11:30 to 12:30 every Thursday here from the Business Radio S Network at the Shrimp Tank. Again, you can listen to us at lunchtime and jump on iTunes at any point. When we come back from a commercial break, we're going to find out, and I'm really curious, just to make things a little bit of a lighter note, how do I get Ranger panties? That's what I'm curious about.
Would you like to have live radio at your next trade show or conference? Now you can with Business Radio X and Radio in My Booth, engaging a target audience on location. To learn more about having live radio at your next trade show, conference, expo, or event, go to radioinmybooth.com. That's radioinmybooth.com.
We're back here at the Shrimp Tank, coming to you live, Business Radio Network, 11:30 to 12:30 every Thursday, where we interview the best and brightest entrepreneurs in the state of Georgia, seeing if they're going to swim or sink in the tank. Pardon me, Chris. My name is Lee Heisman with Chris Hanks and our guest John Bellman. I left the segment now for Hot or Not to ask how exactly we get Ranger panties. I'm curious about that, and then we'll jump into our Hot or Not section.
So there are several places you can buy them. Whether you'd want to wear them is another question entirely. The background is those are the shorts that we in the Ranger Regiment would wear for physical training and PT, and they are, yes, Ranger panties. That is what they look like.
Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah, I won't lie. That's what they are.
Very fair. Yeah. Let's jump into our Hot or Not section where we're going to listen to John's opinion of topics, and he'll be able to elaborate. John, you know, one of our favorite ones are, do you work with family? And you mentioned earlier that you've been in multiple family businesses. So is it hot or not to work with family?
I will say not.
Oh, and you've done it twice, though.
Let me digress.
I apologize. Let me specify my question.
Sure.
Prior to doing your first family engagement, would you have said it's hot or not? Then at your second family engagement, would you have said it's hot or not? And by now you're saying if it's hot or not.
I think the first time I would have said it's hot. The second time I would have said, I'd said probably lukewarm. And then now I'd say not. Not
fair. So it takes two times for something to happen for you to come
to an answer. And I think it's really, it just comes to, there are a lot of great family businesses. There are a lot of great teams that have come out of that environment. It's just from what I've seen, it is a very, very, very difficult set of challenges because you're mixing so many objectives into the business. And so it's very tricky for owners. It's very tricky for succession. It's a tough business is hard enough as it is, and trying to introduce family dynamics into that is just a real challenge.
Tangent question, Chris, sure. And I apologize I'm holding up, but you are consulting many CEOs on a weekly basis. How many times do you run into situations where they are working with family, and what do you do at that point? How do you guide them?
It's a balance. You have to be. Often, if you're coming to a CEO who's already a business owner, already has a situation in place, you're not going to walk in there and say, hey, you've got to change everything. So it's a matter of helping them make the best decisions given the situation that they're in. And it's the same issues you run into with business partnerships and as well, where there's already dynamics in place and you kind of try to make the best out of the situation.
Fair.
So hot or not, Ranger or CEO, if you're a young person, which is
hotter?
Yeah.
Ranger's always hotter than that.
Ranger's hotter?
Yeah, pretty much. Of course, it's the kind of thing where you've been out of it for a while. You look back and remember all the good things and you don't remember all the BS. So it's still the Army. So yeah. It's.
So you would advise a young person to go do that today?
I think that it is... Absolutely. I would encourage a young person to do something of service to the country before doing anything else. I mean, there are different ways of serving, but doing something, get yourself out of your comfort zone that contributes to something bigger than yourself, and doing that with a significant investment of time. There's a saying, and this is radio and family, so I won't use, there's a saying, TSAF, that stands for this S ain't free. And I think that's something that is a Ranger saying also, and Ryan, you heard of this too, that I think that just thinking about there are some things that you just have to pay the price for. And in doing that makes you a better person and a better citizen down the road. So yeah.
So hot or not, give me the list in sequence from the coolest to the hottest, Navy SEAL, Special Forces, or Military Police.
Oh my gosh. Is there none of the above?
I'd say
Special Forces, Military Police, and the SEALs they know how cool they are. They can go last.
They write all the books.
Wow.
Yeah. Why is it that the Navy SEALs write all the books?
Yeah, exactly.
That's every one question. Of them is by yes. Navy SEAL. Yes. I have a question. Excuse me for jumping in
course,
here, Lee,
Ryan,
producer. Veterans and entrepreneurship today. Hot or not?
Hot.
That's a great question.
Very hot.
Very. And why is that?
I think it's just the mindset and initiative that veterans bring to the table. And I've had the privilege of getting connected with the veterans community, business community here in Atlanta. And I just have been just impressed at every turn, the people I meet, no matter what they're doing, and the sense of, also the sense of camaraderie and partnership in that community is a great additional sort of value add coming from that background. So absolutely hot. Yep. Mm.
All right. A little bit of a softball, but I'm curious as to your rationale for this. CEO coaching, hot or not?
It's hot. And it's really, I got into this by being a member of a group of CEOs and business owners when I was running my last company. And the experience of having a high performance team to work with and help you overcome, just understand your business, overcome challenges, and just make your life and your business better. It was such a rewarding experience as a customer of this kind of experience that I just felt I wanted to do something with my next gig that had a higher purpose to it, that can improve the lives of business owners and CEOs in a way that then helps their employees and the community at large. And it's just felt like it's time to do something. Maybe brings a little bit back, a little bit of that higher purpose that I had in the military back to what I can do today.
So how do you respond though, when people say, you know what, I don't have the time and I don't have the, you know, it's too expensive. I mean, how do you respond to that?
Great questions. Those are, and those are actually, on the expense side, when I was looking at this, I kind of had a sense of this is what it was going to cost. The time was a concern for me as a customer, and it's a legitimate concern. But the reality is, if you're not investing time as a business leader in working on your business, then you are, and this, as the cliche goes, you're just stuck in your business putting out fires. And to me, it's not a question of the time. It's my responsibility to be able to help CEOs and business owners understand why this is the best use of their time as they work on their businesses. If they're not going to invest the time at all, then I think that's not a good excuse. In fact, that's a terrible, terrible reason not to do something like this, because you're just reacting every single day and hoping it all works out.
Sure. The business running you yes, not running the
exactly.
business makes complete sense. And guys, again, listening on the air, we are coming to you live here every Thursday from 11:30 to 12:30, Business Radio S Networks. We have the Shrimp Tank. We're going to come back to our next section, which is my favorite, especially when I sit next to the legendary Chris Hanks, because his plead the fifth questions are absolutely the best I've ever heard every single time. You get to plead the fifth one time. We'll be back in a moment from a break from our sponsors. And more importantly, I want to know what sua sponte means.
Does it seem like the more money you make, the more money seems to slip through your fingers? Why is it that you seem to make six figures, but have six figures worth of bills? Now it's time to get a plan. Set up time today to start a 21-day budget cleanse. Go to OxygenFinancial.net to schedule a complimentary meeting today. That's OxygenFinancial.net and get started today. Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC. An affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Oxygen is not affiliated with Kestra.
We're back here at Business Radio S Networks with the Shrimp Tank. My name is Lee Heisman. I'm here with Chris Hanks, my co-host, and John Bellman, the CEO of Sua Sponte.
You have got the Latin translation of what own accord is.
Yeah, tell us about that, please.
Okay, so sua sponte is Latin, and it is the sort of tagline of the Ranger Regiment, and it does mean of your own accord or of their own accord. And really, and the meaning of that is sort of self-explanatory, is that you're showing initiative, you're doing the right thing, even if you're the only person left to do it. And I think that I was looking for, as I'm forming this company, what name would really resonate with what its purpose and what purpose I could share. And this is Sua Sponte was taken, I think, at least the website is. I figured it would be more straightforward to say own accord. People would understand that, as opposed to our Latin scholars in this country aren't really.
No, I love it. I love it. That's why I bring it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, ironically, we started the show with Romania. That is the Romanian language is the closest we have to the ancient Latin. Hence Romania, Rome.
Yeah, Rome.
So,
okay,
yeah,
okay.
Conquered
wow,
by Rome.
Makes sense. Yeah.
See,
yeah,
I'm just dropping all
sense.
Kinds
you
of.
You are dropping. You haven't done an 80s music sense. Reference
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, that's true.
That
I'm holding back, though.
Fair. I'm going to jump in with a plead the fifth. What is the worst thing you had to do as a private? And I know I'm jumping on to some fun military topics. The worst thing you had to do as a private?
I will say the worst thing I had to do was push each different type of battery up and down the hallway with my nose.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, I think I might start using that at my organization. Yeah. So I think this is pretty
good. There
were
other things that were more painful than that, but that was probably
the
worst thing I could
do. What did you do to earn that privilege?
So I had, for a variety of reasons, I arrived at the unit and I was assigned the job of RTO, radio telephone operator, and because the guy who had that job had quit the day before I got there. So part of that is you're in charge of managing all of the electronics, all the night vision, all of the optics, everything. And you're not really trained as to what these things are. And so in attempting to assist me in getting better command of knowledge of what each item was that I had control over, I was helped in that effort by being encouraged to push batteries the size of either a dime or all the way up to a brick up and down the hallway.
Did it help you, John? Did it help you?
I did clarify the mind in a way that seemed to be very effective.
Would you recommend that as a consulting for your CEOs and their employees?
I think that there might be some run into some federal employment issues on that and whatever. But think out of the box.
Yeah, fair. It's definitely out of the box. Okay, so what has been the most disappointing thing about your military experience?
The most disappointing thing, The most disappointing part was going on a mission that was as intense as it was, and then being pulled out of country, not being able to finish it, and that was really very tough afterwards. Yeah, So it felt as if, especially at the time, that the country was going to commit the kind of forces and national prestige to doing this and getting involved in Somalia, that to just pull out as soon as we were on the brink of success, which we were, just that quickly was very tough at the time. I mean, and I get the politics and understand it's not that I'm harboring resentment about it now, but that was the toughest part of it, about my military.
So, John, we are a internet radio show, so there are no FCC regulations. We can get a little more murder here than that. You are consulting CEOs. You're consulting, type A personalities.
Yeah.
I deal with CEOs all day long. Who is your biggest pain in the ass client? And if you're uncomfortable, which I'm not trying to share or ruin it, what are the things that the biggest pain in the ass client you run into?
I think that the biggest pain in the ass client are ones that they recognize what they need to change. They say they want to work on it, and then they don't.
And percentage wise, it would seem to be a high percentage that you're running into. It seems like you're constantly battling against their best interest.
I think to some degree, although I will say there's a bit of, with what I do, there's a bit of self-selection that is occurring, because people are open to coaching or open to getting into teams with other CEOs and working together. You kind of are already weeding out the people who, the go-it-alone types already, but there still are invariably that tough decision that they know, and it really comes down to oftentimes it's people. I've got someone on my staff, or I have a business partner who I grew up with, and they are not meeting expectations, or there's something that role has outgrown them, and they know it. They say they want to do something, and they just won't. And I understand how hard it is, but that can be, you want to see as a consultant or a coach, you want to see, you can't make results happen. That's probably the hardest thing for me about this, is you're still working through other people to see the results. So you really get excited about seeing improvement and change, and then when it doesn't happen, it can be a little frustrating at times, but
yeah. If you had to name one thing that you were afraid that your clients would find out about you, what would be that one thing?
Let me see. One thing, or I don't know if there's something, and this is true for CEOs too. It's something called imposter syndrome.
Yeah,
I know it sounds like Stockholm syndrome, whatever, but it's really, it's that feeling of somehow I don't belong, no matter what you've done. And I see this in people you'd never be, and people don't expect it from me. They look at me and go, former Army Ranger, you've done all these things. At the same time, there are times where like, man, do I really, do I belong in giving this kind of advice or working through this? So you got to, and it's more of just a feeling than any one thing. The stuff that I'm not going to share the things that they found out about, it would be a real problem, but we'll
Semi-plead the fifth. Plead the 2.5.
2.5.
Excellent. So Chris talked about the most frustrating, disappointing piece of your military background. What is the biggest disappointment thus far in your professional civilian business career?
That's a great question. That is a great question.
Give me the plead the fifth, John. No, I want
not,
it.
I know you want. You're not getting the plead the fifth.
All right.
I would say I'd say that in my running my last company, there were some challenges that I didn't have an answer to. There were some aspects of the business trying to sort through all of the dynamics of family-owned business and all the dynamics of strategic growth and all the rest of it. And I wasn't able to solve all those things.
And what did you do about that? I don't see you as the person that just quit.
No, I think I did reach the point where some of the issues I knew were just not going to be ones that were going to change, which is fine. And I've, you know, and coming to peace with that and with everybody involved was a journey, but it's, you know, it's still a matter of, okay, that was disappointing that I couldn't fix it.
Myself, I grew up around military bases and being the son of a infantry sergeant who combat veteran, I understand that there's tremendous psychological price that's paid for military service. What psychological price have you paid in business?
Wow. I think I'm not uncommon in this relative to other people who run businesses or been in business is the expense. Sometimes business happens at the expense of family, and it commands your attention, and that's where all your energy is, and you give that every day, and do you have enough left over at the end of the day for everybody else in your life who wants their attention, especially when you get into a senior leadership role or CEO where you're carrying the weight of the company on your back, and that is your responsibility, and sometimes the other people who are depending on you too in your life aren't getting what they need from you.
Oh, that's wonderful content. John, listen, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. The time just flies by.
Wow,
there's no question about it. You know, if people want to get a hold of you, okay, for your business, what is the website? What is the best way to reach you?
Okay, well, so the best way to reach me is my website is johnbellman.com. Yes. There are other addresses that lead there as well, but they're all good and positive, business-oriented. My email address is johnbellman@atlceo.com. So Atlanta CEO, think about that.
Sure.
And you can reach me there. I'm on LinkedIn. You can look me up. I do have both a personal and a business Facebook page. So I'm out there. If you search for John Bellman, you're going to find me.
That's wonderful. John, your content was amazing today. Obviously, I thank you for your service in the years past. I thank you for enlightening and bringing other veterans into the entrepreneurial world, like our producer, Ryan, of course, who just launched another business recently. Amazing content. Please listen to the show in its entirety on iTunes. I want to thank Chris Hanks, being the executive director of KSU and being our host. And thank you so much for listening to us on The Shrimp Tank.
I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.